now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the program. My name is Roland Trujillo. I bid you welcome to this program. Now today, a little bit of a special program. I have two objectives in mind. One, a little retrospective on the last 20 years, and some thoughts about the current state of affairs. And then, I'm sorry to say, a little plea for money. I don't like to do this, but I don't have any choice. Once in a while, I have to do so, because if I don't ask, then you won't know that I need help. But let's begin, first of all, with a little retrospective. I just published a wonderful book called The Best of Roland, Timeless Advice, Insight, and Guidance from 20 Years of Helping People. Incidentally, if you'd like to order this book or find out more about it, well, I will tell you how to find it. But first of all, let me read to you just a little bit here from this 19-year retrospective. I'll begin where I began in a previous program, and then I'll launch into some of the retrospective items. It was March of 1990 that I walked into the offices of KEST Radio to inquire about buying airtime. Back then, KEST had a penthouse on Market Street in San Francisco. My account representative and producer was LeBaron King, a truly fine gentleman who later became a producer at KNBR. I don't know where he is now, but I hope he's doing well. I began at 11:30 a.m. and did my program live from the studio. I took calls, and it was fun. As the years went by, I had airtime at various hours, but, let me skip that. Yet I am still here saying the same things I said 19 years ago, and what I say is still true. First of all, I'd like to comment on differences I see between now and 19 years ago. I'm trying to skip some of the parts that are not pertinent. First of all, people are not responding as they once did. People today have fallen into the hands of the experts who support and drug them. Today, everything is organized into big organizations and bureaucracies. Even many churches are big and slick, and many of the small ones are slick too. Every helper and organization has a website, a radio or television outreach, books, newsletters, and lots of support groups. These organizations absorb all the resources, especially the big ones. Through their sheer size alone, they outmaneuver and overwhelm any little guy. Mom-and-pop office supply stores, mom-and-pop gas stations, and mom-and-pop farms are dying or dead. And so it is becoming with small outreaches. Today, everyone thinks they are experts just because they took a psychology course or read a book. Everyone has attended seminars, visited many websites, and has an opinion on everything. Today, everyone has a surface familiarity with counseling, drugs, religion, and spirituality. They have tasted of the smorgasbord of both corrupt experience and then, quote-unquote, help. They think they know it all. 1,000 churches, 1,000 forms of spirituality, 1,000 social service agencies, and 1,000 counselors, each cleverly marketing itself, means that everyone has been diagnosed, treated, supported, and often drugged. There's an old expression, when everything is important, nothing is important. In the same way, when every helper is valid, then almost nothing is valid. Sure, some of the help with spiritual problems is valid, but which ones? It is for this reason that people have become smart alecks and smug. They think they already know the answers, or they think they have been given the answers. The attitude of smug satisfaction stops searching. The kind of help that gives glib answers and the kind of help that offers symptom removal as quote-unquote help also stops searching. I also believe that the widespread use of marijuana provides a false comfort for people. It also stops meaningful searching. A marijuana smoker thinks he knows something profound when he really doesn't. In a nutshell, there is too much of everything today, including help. Most of it useless. That which is helpful is either diluted or lost in the shuffle. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading from my book, The Best of Roland. I'll be right back. Hello, this is Roland. Highlights from selected Common Sense programs are available at our website, commonsensecounseling.org. Click on Streaming Audio and you'll find programs by typing Real Player or Windows Media Format. Plus, listen to my lecture on how to stop hurting those you love, and find links to all five of my blogs. It's all at commonsensecounseling.org. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Roland Trujillo. I've been reading from my book, The Best of Roland. It's a really a handsome book. 360 pages. If you'd like to order it, perhaps the best way would be to go to commonsensecounseling.blogspot.com. That's Common Sense Counseling. That's all one word, all run together. commonsensecounseling.blogspot.com. And then on the right side, you'll see a picture of the book. You can click on it, and it'll take you right to where you can order it. It's a handsome book. I've had it done through Cafe Press, so it's very, very nice. Very, very nice book. You'll be delighted when you receive it. But the point that I'm getting at is that people are not responding as they once did. Now, I have some ideas on the subject. First of all, as I said, there's just way too much help out there. Everybody's kind of sitting around passively waiting for someone to help them instead of, you know, searching within. Instead of searching within and figuring it out and reaching within and looking to God and taking a few steps on one's own and asking God for direction, you know, that sort of thing. We look to the government or the experts or the school or somebody. We become very passive. We sit around and watch television. See, the television is just, it's really bad for people if you want to know the truth about it. I really do. And I'm just a regular person. I'm not a stick in the mud. I've watched television, see, and I'll still watch a little television, but not very much. Not very much. I hardly watch anything. And even if I did watch it, I would have some awareness, but even so, I would still be careful not to watch very much of it. People who watch television, they become very passive. And I think this passivity, this waiting, and this reacting, see, waiting for someone to do something and then reacting to it. You also get it with people who are on the internet. You know, you click a button. That's all you do is move your mouse and click. And then you see what's there, and then you respond and react to it. It's nothing at all like reading. Nothing at all like reading or living. It's a substitute for television. It's a substitute for life. I was reading the other day a book by Eric Hoffer, or about Eric Hoffer. And I say that if you have a chance, if you have a chance that you go to the library and find some books about Eric Hoffer, Hoffer. He was a longshoreman. He worked on the docks of San Francisco by day, and he was a philosopher, longshoreman philosopher. He wrote a book called The True Believer. He became rather famous. There was a television program on CBS done with Eric Severide as the interviewer, and it received a huge response. He later became a visiting professor at UC Berkeley, but he had a keen insight. He was a free thinker. He thought outside the box, and he said that the same thing about television. He said that people have become passive. He said that Americans don't have the same reverence for work that they once had. So I think if you read some of what he had to say, I think you would find it very good. But the other thing, so what else? Why are people not responding today? Well, we seem to be in a deeper trance. People seem to be in a deeper trance. It's like a mental fog. What do they call it? Brain fog? Now, what are the reasons? First of all, sitting around passively and having other people, you know, direct, even television. Even when you sit around television, the television becomes the director, and you become the passive recipient. You see what I mean? So that's part of it. I think part of it also is the fluoride in the water. A lot of water systems are fluoridated. And not only do you get the fluoride, but you find that the juices have fluoride in them, and fruit that's grown in an area where the water is fluoridated has fluoride in it. And There's just fluoride everywhere. I don't think it's good for us. I really don't. And I read somewhere that the Russians used it, or may have been the Nazis, but I think it was the Russians, put fluoride to pacify and stupefy the prisoners in their political prisons. So that it can't be a very good thing. There's a lot of issues with it now. And I think that may be part of the stupefaction of the people. And the other thing about today is that as people become wronger and wronger, and then of course the other thing is a lot of people are on psychoactive or psychotropic drugs. A lot of people are, they're on Prozac or Ritalin or Wellbutrin or Zoloft or Paxil or so many of these drugs. I can't see how that would be a very good thing for people's alertness and awareness. And then the other thing is that people have become, quite wrong. See, as you fall away from living the straight and narrow, as you fall away from leading a quiet life and minding your own business and working hard, working with your hands perhaps, and leading a simple life and a godly life and a decent life, as we take drugs, prescription or non-prescription, as we eat improperly, and as we are promiscuous and have multiple partners, and as we just live wrongly, watch the wrong things, say the wrong things, as we become farther and farther away from an intuitive kind of a life, then we accumulate guilt and anxiety for it. Have you ever, I'm sure you have, but I can't think of a good example, but have you ever felt sheepish about something? Have you felt sheepish about, you're in a restaurant and you ordered, some very expensive things, and here comes a friend of yours that walking by and he doesn't have a lot of money. And he's there, and he sees you, and you're sitting there eating all this stuff, and then you feel a little sheepish about it. Or you're buying yourself some clothes or shoes. You're trying on some, $30, $40, $50, $60, $70 shoes, and you don't really need shoes, but there you are, and then here comes somebody, and they see you, and you feel a little sheepish about it, see? Because you feel uneasy about, doing something that's not quite right, being wasteful, being selfish. See what I mean? You feel sheepish about it. Well, the farther away we fall from the straight and narrow and the proper intuitive way of living, the more sheepish we feel, or the more anxiety we feel. Feel uneasy. See? And then we want to slink around and be not be observed in our wrong. See what I mean? And so we find the truth threatening. And if the truth is threatening, then we want to reduce awareness. See, so we drink, we smoke, we take our marijuana, and we watch our television, and we become distracted. So that we won't have to face the truth, which makes us aware of our own wrong, our own selfishness. Are you with me? Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed the program so far. And I shall return with more in just a moment. Would you like a really positive attitude? If so, you must learn how not to be upset. If you are easily upset, it is because you are too reactive. In order to be calm, you must learn the secret of responding to inner principle instead of external tease. To learn the secret of not reacting with resentment and upset, go to commonsensecounseling.org, where you can download a free introductory copy of the meditation exercise. By relating humbly to inner principle, you can overlook others' cruelty and also overlook your own negative thoughts and emotions. By having remained unmoved, you are free to discern the meaning of the moment and respond with patience. The self-control you receive will restore confidence and a positive attitude based on a love of principle and having patience with others. Visit commonsensecounseling.org and start living instead of reacting.
If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo, That's ROLANDTRUJILLO. Box 282, 1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. That's Roland Trujillo, Box 282, 1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The program is the Roland Trujillo Show. I read a little bit from The Best of Roland, a new book that I've written. And I encourage you to perhaps get it. It's a very good book. Now, the other thing I want to say about today is that... Now, Eric Hoffer, the waterfront longshoreman philosopher, he said... And he was, you know, he was saying this like 40 years ago, in the 60s and 70s. He said that Americans have become cowards. See, we've become very cowardly. And he said it especially when it comes to crime, you know, tolerating crime. A long time ago, people would not tolerate the kind of things that take place today, the kind of rudeness, the kind of vulgarity, the kind of... horrible things that are done and said in public, the crime, the misbehavior, etc. It just would not have been tolerated, but we have become cowards. And because of that, we have become subject to it. Now, in that regard, let me say, you know, I happen to find an old book called Favorite Hymns of Praise. Here's a hymn. It says, "Rise up, O men of God. Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God. His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod, as brothers of the Son of Man. Rise up, O men of God." Yes, indeed, where are the men of God? Where are the men of God to rise up and say, enough? Enough. See, we're not going to put up with it anymore. Where are the men of God? See? And so I think we as men have become, well, we've become a little wimpy. In fact, most of us dads or fathers were a little bit wimpy too, aren't we? We kind of, we want to go along to get along and be friends and be popular. We don't want to rock the boat, and we basically put our wife in charge of everything, a lot of us men, you see. So we become weak. And whatever is said, everybody, see, father is, it's no longer father knows best or father is in charge. No, somebody else is in charge. The school is in charge. The social service agency is in charge. The educators are in charge. The government is in charge. The bureaucracy is in charge. Wife is in charge. Somebody else is in charge. See? So that's... That's not, so where are the manly men? I don't know. And that's why I sometimes suspect that if this country is going to make it, it's going to have to be that the women begin to rise up and say, we deserve better than this. We deserve better than this. Perhaps minority people, perhaps the black people will need to rise up. You know, if you hear the statistic, you will find that the vast majority of the abortion, I've heard that most of the abortion providers are located in black neighborhoods. A large proportion of black babies, of the black little babies are being killed, are being aborted. Do you know that? So it's going to take the black people and the black preachers and the black church and black men to become the men that they are supposed to be. Hello, some of you have been listening for a while and like where I'm coming from. You recognize the truth and are willing to admit you've made some mistakes. The next step is to make some positive changes in your life. A good place to start is with the meditation exercise. Most of us are too lost in our thinking. We plan, worry, and scheme. Then we act emotionally and usually make things worse. Instead of worrying and scheming, why not spend the learning to be still and find the wisdom and a proper energy to move with? In other words, why not request our meditation exercise? It will help you get out of fixating on problems and negative thinking. To request a copy of the meditation exercise, write, call, or email us. Or just pay us a visit at commonsensecounseling.org. You'll be glad you did. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And I think it's going to take the Democrats. The Democrats are going to have to rise up. You see, the Republicans have become caricature. The Republicans have become weak and caricatures of themselves. There's hardly any good old-fashioned Republicans around anymore. I mean, conservatives, real conservatives. Now the Republicans, I don't know what they are, but whatever they are, they're not old-fashioned conservatives. But I think it's going to take the Democrats to start waking up. You see, for example, with these bum rushes that they're trying to pull on us. First of all, it started under Bush. See, it started under Bush. He started this whole bailout thing, see? This bailout thing. Millions and trillions and billions of dollars being given to the to Wall Street. And why? Because of the derivatives. See, that's the secret. They say, oh, it's because of mortgages to people that couldn't pay the mortgages and, you know, lending. You know, forget all that stuff. It's the derivatives. It's the derivatives. And I understand that a lot of the big insurance companies are on the verge of bankruptcy because they speculated in derivatives. See? So anyway, there was a big bum rush to try to rush. When Bush was in to do a bailout, and then when Obama came in, another bailout, and now a bum's rush to put this cap and trade for this environmental fraud, what do you call it, climate change, global warming fraud. So a bum rush there. It's got a rush, and now they're trying to rush this medical takeover of the medical system through. That's right. They're trying to rush it through. It's like a bum rush and trying to hoodwink us. So they're trying to rush all these things through. Oh, and the next one is the vaccines. Oh, they're going to say that, you know, there's this flu, whatever they call this flu, that was in Mexico. Now they have a big bum rush to vaccinate people without doing the proper trials, without doing the proper testing. See, back in the 76, a lot of people were taking took the flu shot. They got Guillain-Barré syndrome. See, a lot of bad things happened. My mother used to get the flu shots. She'd always, the doctor was the kind, they would have her line up for every one of them. Then all of a sudden she got lupus and arthritis and cancer. You know, it's strange coincidence there. Every time she got the flu shot, she got sick and felt worse. So it was a bad idea then. So now they've got all these bum rushes going, see, to hoodwink the American people. And it's take the see. So what I was going to say though is if the Republicans stand up, you know, the usual Hannity and all these types crowd, you know, not that they're not you know, doing a good enough job, but all it does is strengthen the other side. You know, the Democrats say, oh, look, the Hannity and those types. But if within the Democratic Party, the good old-fashioned Democrats stand up, what do they call them, the blue dog Democrats? The good old-fashioned kind. See, when I grew up, Democrats were different than they are now. When I grew up, the Democrats were people. They were working. They were for the working man and the working woman. See, they were of the earth, see, and they were for the little guy. But now, well, the Democratic Party has been hijacked by special interests, and so it's no longer for the working guy anymore. So it's going to be have to be the working guy, the little guy, the man of the people, the man the woman of the people will have to rise up and say, now wait a minute. Now just wait a minute. And how about this war, Obama's Vietnam, this Afghanistan thing? What a disaster. The highest death rate this last month in Afghanistan there has been so far. I say bring our boys home. This is a special message for friends of the Common Sense broadcast who don't use email but who would like to communicate with us. I would like to personally invite you to write to us. We'd love to hear from you. Send your cards and letters to Roland Trujillo, 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. While you're at it, ask for a free copy of our newsletter or request a free brochure. Once again, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo, 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. Well, ladies and gentlemen, a little retrospective, how people are different today than when I started 20 years ago, and a little bit from Eric Hoffer, great philosopher, and some comments about society, and also mentioning my book, The Best of Roland, that I encourage you to get. Please. And I forgot to make the plea for money, but okay, let me do it now. I need some help to stay on the air. I absolutely do. I'm sorry to have to ask, but if there's anybody out there that could help me, please. I really, really could use the help so I can stay on the air. Well, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, go to commonsensecounseling.org or rolandtrujillo.com or coachroland.com. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo. That's ROLANDTRUJILLO. 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. That's 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.